early 1930s, Klaus Westermann, who was a German clergyman and theologian, as he began his ministry, he started studying the Psalms. One of the reasons why he says he started deeply studying the Psalms is he was watching in his country the rise of the Third Reich, or the Nazis. And Klaus, as a clergyman, was recognizing the devastation and destruction and the evil that this regime was propagating, and he was searching for ways to process the evil that he was seeing in his country. And so he began to do a deep dive in the Psalms. And as he did so, he was actually recruited into the German military, where he served as a translator in Russia, a Russian translator on the Eastern Front. And during his time, not only studying, but also serving, he was deeply, deeply studying the Psalms. And after the war, he continued on in his ministry and his theological development. And one of the things that he talked about is that the Psalms give us language to sing and pray. That the Psalms give us a framework when our heart is feeling deeply, when we're feeling lost or confused, when we're feeling even angry or outraged, when we're feeling taken advantage of or oppressed. The Psalms give to us a language to sing and to pray. Today, we're continuing on in a series called Summer of the Bible, which is going to be way more cool than it sounds, trust me. And we're looking at different aspects of Scripture to learn how Scripture works, how it works on us, how we're invited to engage in it. And today, I want to invite us to think deeply about a form of literature that's in the Bible, and that's song or poetry. So a ton of the Bible is song or poetry. In fact, there's a whole book of the Bible called the Psalms, which is just this enormous collection of these prayer songs or poetry that speak to the nature of the human condition, and it gives language and framework for how we can pray, how we can sing, how we can reflect on our own condition and what God is doing. There's this old theologian named Athanasius, and he says that much of Scripture speaks to us, but the Psalms speak for us. That in the Psalms, we get a mirror of our own hearts, and the longings and the feelings and the depths of our being that come out in poetry, in art, and in song. So today I want to invite us to think deeply about the musical and poetic nature of much of Scripture as we see it in the Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 1 today, and if you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn there. By the way, if you do have a print Bible, I'd invite you to bring it for our Summer of the Bible series, because we're going to do some stuff that's kind of, it's a little bit easier when you have a print Bible. If you don't have a print Bible and want one, we'd love to give you one. There are some available on the table in the back, and please take that as our gift to you. And if you're using a digital version of the Bible, that's totally fine. And if you're joining us online and don't have a print Bible, you can open up a new browser, go to Bible.com. And we're using the Christian Standard Version of the Bible today, but whatever version you have is great. And the reason for bringing in the print Bible is we're going to do some stuff together where it may be a little bit easier to kind of move back and forth. Today, we will just stick to Psalm chapter 1. And I did share it last week that this Summer of the Bible is, for me, an opportunity to do Bible show and tell. I have been dying to do Bible show and tell, and now that I have a captive audience, I would just implore you to pretend to be interested. So I have a few Bibles, and many of them have deep and profound meaning to me, and this one is one of the most delicate, so I don't want to open it or show you, but this front cover is metal, and on it there's an inscription, "May this keep you safe from harm." And if you were to open it delicately, because the binding has pretty much disintegrated, the glue has, you would see that it is a Bible that was given by the United States military to my grandfather, Robert Fritz, who fought in World War II on the other side than Carl Westermann, who wrote so deeply about the Psalms. And my grandfather, that was his Bible, and he was not an exceptionally religious man. But he kept it. And after he passed, and after my grandma passed, it was one of the few possessions that the grandkids kind of went through as we were kind of parsing out, you know, who different mementos that we would keep from grandma and grandpa. And all my cousins were like, well, I guess the preacher should get the Bible. And so I lucked out. I lucked out with the Bible. But it's called a Heart Shield Bible, and it's one that I cherish. And one of the reasons why it's called a heart shield is the front's metal, and often soldiers would keep it in the pocket over their heart. And there's actually pictures online, if you want to do some research, of the Heart Shield Bible, where they actually were struck by bullets and did, in fact, keep the one who possessed it safe from harm, at least for that particular day. And it's striking to me that even that imagery, that iconography of the heart shield Bible, it was placed like on the heart. And I'm not a big fan of using the Bible as a totem, but it does speak to the imagery that the Bible can be something that speaks not only to our heart, but gives us language so that we can put what's going on in our heart into words and into song. And the Psalms are so good for us because they put into artistic language the deep longings of the heart. And the Psalms can teach us how to pray and sing. And one of the things I just want to draw our attention to, are there any musicians or artists in the house? Even if you fancy yourself as such, it's okay. It's all right. Yeah, it's okay. Okay, so I want to talk to you just for a minute. You know this, don't you? That the arts speak to the human condition more than prose, more than any other tool, if I can, or instrument that we have at our disposal. The arts oftentimes are what humanity relies upon to try to capture what our words cannot express. And for the rest of you, you've perhaps had this experience, haven't you? Where you're feeling deeply, maybe it's a profound joy or even profound sadness. And then there's that song. You know that song? There's that song that when you listen to it, it speaks to not just your ears, but to your heart. And it does something. See, the arts do something to us. They call our entire being into activity. And so it is beautiful for us to recognize that in Holy Scripture, a healthy percentage of it is an artistic invitation to bring our whole being into activity before our God. It's one thing to speak and to have dialogue, which is important. But it's something else, isn't it, when there's rhyme and meter, where there's rhythm and instrumentation, or the visual arts when there's color. So God invites us not only to read the truth of Scripture, but also to sing, or I don't quite like this word because it sounds so dry, but recite, or to speak in unison together according to a particular rhythm. I bet we could even do it right now. You guys want to try? Watch. You know that you can do this even if you don't know that you do this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that truth has been recited and spoken in unison, in rhythm, in time. And it does something to you to where, without you even preparing today, with just a couple of quick words, many of us entered into singing Scripture together. And so the Scriptures, we're invited to sing the Scriptures or to pray in rhythm. The Scriptures are, we actually, most of the biblical scholars that I've studied, we don't know how exactly the Psalms were sung or recited. It's hard to kind of keep that kind of stuff in ancient manuscripts. We're not totally sure. But John Goldengay, who's a brilliant Old Testament scholar, says that it's probable, in his imagination, it's probable that the way that the Psalms were sung is kind of like blues or rap music, where there is a rhythm and rhyme, and yet the words can kind of bounce around in and through. They're kind of woven into it. And so we see in the Psalms this rhythm and rhyme, this invitation to experience the Word of God in a beautiful, rhythmic, artistic expression. And the Psalms are not, so this is something that I think I'm just gonna keep like beating this into my own head as well as our heads. That the scriptures are communal meditation literature. It's ancient communal meditation. And what I mean is this, is it's designed to be engaged in community. And so when you see, sometimes you'll see like an I or a you in the Psalms, and oftentimes that's recognizing that this is being done in an assembly. It's being done as a group. The Psalms were sung as a community. It's not bad to engage them on our own, but they're designed to be engaged in together. Can I tell you guys a story? It's like a rhetorical question. It's nothing you could say that would stop me from telling the story. There is something about singing and reciting scripture together that does something that just dialogue cannot do. A few years ago, I was sitting right there, and I was standing next to a woman who, months prior, her infant child had passed away. And we were singing the truth that whatever comes our way, God can make it well with our soul. It's this old hymn called It Is Well. I don't know if you guys have heard it. And the words of that song hit me different when I heard her voice saying, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You see, there's something about the communal nature and even singing or reciting the scripture together. When I hear you say, give us this day our daily bread, I'm also experiencing that prayer from your perspective too, and you from mine. And so I would invite us as we engage today in the text to consider how this might shape us. And so I'm going to read Psalm 1 and just make a few observations for us to meditate on. This is Psalm 1. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. He meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. First, I would just notice, was there any imagery in that psalm? Tell me what you saw or what you heard. Walking. What else? Streams. What else? Trees. What were the trees doing? They were bearing fruit when? In its season. And what was going on with the foliage and whatnot? It doesn't wither. What other imagery did you find? Day and night. Day and night. What other imagery? The wind. The wind. What happens to those who walk in the way of the wicked? Yeah. Like chaff, they're not able to stand up when the judge speaks. Is that art? Oh, yes. You see, certainly it was words, and certainly you could have just had God say, "Be wise, dummy." Like, we could have gotten a bullet point vision of, like, don't do wicked stuff, do good stuff, and it'll be nice for you. But instead, we got an image of a tree. Where was the roots? The roots were pulling up the water from the stream, and what was going on inside of the tree? The water was doing something in such a way that the leaves did not wither or fade. Hello, Phoenix. Have you ever seen a tree whose leaves are withering, like every tree that I've planted in the last 10 years in my backyard? I don't understand that stuff. And bearing fruit when? In season. This is interesting. Some of the ancients meditated on that little note there of the in season. And notice that even the strongest tree, the healthiest tree, is fruitful for a season, but then there's seasons in which it's not. And they were meditating on this, thinking about, like, well, maybe that's like how God interacts with us, is sometimes it's extremely fruitful and we can see it, and other times it feels like winter. But even that statement, isn't that like imagery? Like, it's not actually winter, is it right now? No. No, we all know that. And yet we might be feeling inside our souls a winter. And the Psalms give to us the imagery and the artistic expression to be able to put into words what it is that's going on deep within us. There's this other bit there too. Verse 1, did you guys see this? It says, how happy is the one who does not... Did you guys catch that? And it's a fine translation, and I really don't like being the guy who says, but it actually could be translated better. But it actually could be translated better. No, I just have so much respect for translators. It's such hard work because it's very difficult to capture ancient Hebrew meditative wisdom literature and put it into English so I can understand. But it gets at this. Sometimes you might see the language of blessed. You guys ever heard of, like, the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers"? That language of blessed, it kind of gets at this idea of the good life is received by the one who. That's a little chunky. But it's not just happy, like, hey. It's that the good life is experienced by the one who, dot, dot, dot. So we're pursuing, right, the good life. What is good in the world? So the good life is for the one who does not walk, that metaphor of walking in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway of sinners. Real quick, did you guys ever hear Jesus say things like, follow me? Yes. That's walking imagery. Before Christianity was called Christianity, you know what it was called? It was called the way. And the way is something that you do what to? Like, you walk away, right? Aerosmith helped us understand this deep theological truth and said, walk this way. That was what Jesus told us. You walk this way. You walk in the path. And that imagery that Jesus uses is he's riffing on the Psalms. Led Zeppelin told us there are two paths you can go down. And in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. There's two paths, the path of the wicked and the path of the righteous, the path of Jesus. So if you want to meditate even on our lives as walking a certain way, the Psalms gives to us that imagery. And then there's this one line, verse 2, delight, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. Right? Don't you delight in instruction? You delighting in some instruction, are you? Doesn't that sound weird? Okay, so that language of instruction, some of your translation may have, they delight in the law of the Lord. Right? Doesn't that make it easier? That you delight in the law of God? How's your delight meter? All right, this is one of those things where, like, as modern English folks, like, in our imaginations shaped by legal codes, we're missing something here. This language is, it's referring to, and so super Bible nerdy, it's referring to the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, which certainly does have do this, don't do that. But you know what the first five books of the Bible are? They're the introduction to the story that God wants us to recognize that we're part of. And so the delight that's being spoken of here is the one who meditates day and night goes, on the story that God is inviting us to recognize that we're a part of, that there is delight. There's delight because the story that God has invited us to recognize that we're a part of is speaking about who God is, who we are as people made in the image and likeness of God, that though we've turned our backs on God and gone our own way, that he is a redeeming and restoring God who pursues after us and says, come back, turn from the broken path and turn. It's the language of repentance, by the way, which is also fun, right? Repentance? Turn from going the broken way, the way of the unwise, the way of evil, and turn back and follow me. And that story is good news for any one of us who are experiencing the brokenness of walking the broken path. That the story that we get to, that we're invited to meditate on day and night, is a story of God taking on flesh, entering into our experience in the person and work of Jesus, dying, giving himself up and dying on a cross, and then going into the grave, and 3 days later, coming out of the grave, conquering over Satan, sin, and death, who stands victorious and says, follow my way. And meditating day and night on that story and recognizing that we are part of that story can be a profound source of delight and joy in a world with so many busted and broken stories. And so I'd invite us, as you meditate on Scripture, as you think about Scripture, even perhaps as you sing Scripture, to recognize that this story, whether it's sung or heard or read or poetically recited, it is shaping us, and it is a source, can be a source of delight for us. I want to invite some members of our worship team, people who sing Scripture a lot, to join me up here, because I would love to get their perspective on this. And so at Desert Springs, we are so blessed to have a bunch of different folks who lead us in worship week in and week out, who lead us in song and lead us in recitation of Scripture. And would just love to hear from them. Yeah, are you guys new to microphones? They're right over there. Yeah, you can just grab them. Don't be afraid of it. This is members of our worship team, certainly not all of them, but some of them. So just tell us who you are and how you've seen God at work as you've led worship.
Sure. My name is Tony, and I serve as our music director here on the platform. And as a music director, I've had the opportunity to work with all of the musicians that come up on the stage here that serve here. So we get to see a lot of people who've experienced a lot of different things. And I think that's where I see God work a lot, is that my soul experience is my soul experience, and I experience God, and I experience worship in my own way. But when I get the opportunity to see God working through each person on the team, to see their experience, to see their worship, it invites me to experience God in a whole new way, a whole different light. Actually, something you said a while back, a long time ago, it's always stuck with me. I know, surprising. You said something stuck with me, I know. But it's you said once, if you imagine there was a big statue like in the middle of the room here, and it was completely dark, and I have my flashlight, and I shine my flashlight at it. That's my experience. But as each one of us shines our flashlights on that, we get to see more of it, and more of that statue is revealed, and we experience it in a whole new way. So as we all worship in here together, and as we worship here on the stage, I get to experience and see God in a whole different way, in a more complete experience because of what we have going on. So that's kind of how I see God work through the team and through you guys as well. So.
Hi, I'm Kaylee. I serve here at DSBC and sometimes on the worship team. I have seen God at work not only through my personal experience, like Tony said, but just the fellowship beyond this group. I get to hang out with these guys. It's super cool when you get to enter into this space and join worship team. And it's this really accepting, awesome, honest space where we get to come together and make music. But then I get to go out and see all of you guys and meet some people that I never would have run into who come up and say, thanks for, you know, serving, thanks for worshiping, or they tell me how much they appreciate that. And it's crazy to see the faces in the seats up close, if that makes any sense. So seeing God at work through my service in others has been really incredible. I also get to hang out and serve with my dad, which is an incredible opportunity since it's Father's Day, to come into his space, and serve as a family. That's been a really cool part of our relationship building as I turn into an adult.
Hi, I have written mine because my name is Samali. Our family took the next step to serve at DSBC. We have had the privilege of serving on the worship team and our kiddos reading the scripture. We have seen God graciously guide our steps, enable us to honor our commitment to serve. In making our schedules accommodate our intentional serving opportunities, growing our relationships with different families alongside whom we serve and in the congregation, having really honest and sometimes hard conversations with our kiddos about life, faith, the value of serving, the beauty of being a part of community, among many other things, and in other ways that God has led us. And God is always willing and able to work in our lives.
Well, I'm Daniel. I also serve on the worship team here. I've had that great privilege. I was reminded today as we were singing that, you know, each of us carries a different level of baggage week in and week out. And I started my journey as a worship leader way back in 2009. And I brought my second oldest, Xander, who I believe you all know, on stage with me when they were 8 years old, some 2016-ish. And I was reminded each time I serve with them of that childlike wonder of God. When I come to worship and I'm going to go, well, God, we're going to do this in spite of me today. But to look at Xander and their ability to be present in those moments, to be like, hey, let's go. We're going to do this today, Dad. This is going to be so much fun. And just to remember that I need to shift my attitude to remember who I serve.
I'm Brent, and I have the privilege of singing with you all as we come to the Father. And as you can see from the stories here, all of us here, it's intergenerational. You can see here a father and a daughter, and a father and a daughter. And my experience in worship started, I'm reminded of the scripture that came, 2 Timothy 3, 15, that says, from infancy you have known. And worship is creation and giving back to the creator of all good things. And as we sing together, we're creating a beautiful sound to the Father. And as you sing in your homes, as you create art, and as you maybe create a meal, you're passing on this act of worship. And that's my experience from when I was young, singing with my mother, through now singing with this team and you all.
Good morning. My name is Tommy. It is my privilege to be part of this worship team. The DSBC worship team has some of the best musicians, amazing people, amazing fathers and mothers, great families. And I got to say, I'm very, very proud of my daughter being on the worship team and just all the ministries that she does. That's how I see God working in my family. And if you see me, I get into worship. And when I'm there and there's times that I share the stage with my daughter, I'm just teared up and welled up. And not just because of the way we sound. I mean, I just get so caught up in it. So, yeah, that's the way I see it. Very proud of you.
That's awesome, Tommy. Well, I been doing worship for so long. My father was a worship leader, and I'm a worship leader. And my daughter, I've had the privilege of leading worship with my daughter, who currently performs and is in the music industry, and she continues to bring light and kindness in that place. So I'm very blessed to be part of worship as it helps me personally connect to the essence of God within all of us. And when I hear you sing, you're declaring the essence of God within you as we share truth together in worship.
Well, we have been talking about singing scripture, so I thought it might be good for us to sing some of the truth of scripture together. And so as we conclude our time, just a quick note that if you'd like prayer today after we're done singing together, members of our prayer team will be available here in the front to pray with you. And if you're not able to make your way down, that's fine. Just wave and grab one of their attention and they will come to you. But as we conclude our time together, would you? And there's an ancient song, an old song, I should say, called Doxology, which speaks to the triune nature of God as the giver of all good things. And this is a song sung by Christians throughout the centuries and around the world. And so I'd invite you to stand, and together we'll sing Doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him.
Bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and bring you peace both today and forevermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We'll see you next time.